Hello, I'm Sebastian Marshall. I'm the CEO of Ultra Working. You're listening to the Ultra Working podcast. So we've been a little bit in the world of abstraction lately, talking about some fairly high concept, highly abstract science stuff. I thought it would be good to do a hyper practical show. Now, we don't do the, 10 tips to power up your morning type stuff. That's not what we're about. Nevertheless, we're not going to be like, do this exactly this way. Instead, I want to talk about the characteristics or some of the characteristics that I think are very desirable in a weekly review. I'm not going to say do exactly this or do exactly that. I will talk about some of the things that I do in a weekly review. So I'll give you some stuff to do, but really you should build your own over time. You can start by borrowing somebody else's or pieces of somebody else's. But I'm a big fan of understanding the underlying mechanics of why something is good, not just copying something point blank without knowing why it's good. You want to understand, why is this way? And weekly review in particular, I think, is one that there really is not a single one-size-fits-all best thing. And you got to kind of find what works for you. And that's largely because different people have different shapes of project, career, and so on and so forth. And the amount of rigor you need to put into this and what you need to be looking at and paying attention to during a weekly review, I think, is just a little bit different from person to person. We've designed a lot of things at Ultra Working that work pretty well for people. Work cycles, light spreadsheet, things like that. And those work really well. A lot of people use those. And for my money, there's other stuff that's good, but I don't think there's better than work cycles for what it's good at, for the type of people that like it. I don't think there's better than lights for what it does, installing habits and having it ramp up and ramp down for the people that it mentally clicks with. But for weekly review, people ask from time to time, hey, Sebastian, can we get something on that? And I'm like, this one's one that I think is a little more qualitative and a little more personal. I will share what I do on this, but let's start with the characteristics. So first and foremost, here's the number one reason I think to do a weekly review. A desirable characteristic of one is I think it should clear the decks like you're going on vacation. So ideally, I think a really good weekly review kind of results in you closing the book on last week and going into next week with a clean slate, so to speak. This is the ideal. It doesn't always happen, right? But some weeks you're just flying, everything's perfect, everything's marvelous. I don't know how often your weeks are like that. I don't know, maybe 25% of my weeks are like that. A week that if I made no adjustments, the next week would be good. Now, I'm running a rapidly growing company. We're always redeveloping systems, doing different types of projects, bringing new people on board, doing stuff. My work changes. Maybe not necessarily from week to week, but my work changes really quickly. If your work's more steady, then, maybe you get into a good cadence. But for me, I got to be paying attention to what I'm doing, making sure I'm not missing anything, and so on and so forth. And I'd say about a quarter of the time, everything is just going great. But maybe three quarters of the time, I might be doing really well at one thing, but I'm neglecting another area. And I want to have that come to my attention. I have bad weeks, just like anybody else. So what I want is I don't want to be going down bullheaded for 12 or 16 weeks in a row while ignoring something important. I'm sure you've all had that time to time. You get out of sync with your fitness or your nutrition or your finances or whatever. I want to at least notice that stuff on a weekly basis. And if any of it was bad the last week, I want to close the book on it. I want to stop feeling bad about it. I want to kind of wrap it up and say, okay, that week is gone, on to the next week. So I want to keep the momentum and the lessons from the previous week, but I want to close the book on the week before. And, when someone's about to go on a vacation, especially kind of an extended one, for a week or two, you just like wrap up all these kind of like little stupid things and you close the book on it, and then it's like a really good feeling and you could just think. That's ideally what I want to have happen every single Sunday. I want to close the book on the week before. I want to learn from it. I want to look at everything that it needs looking at. And then I want to be on to the next week with a fresh, clean slate, right? So that's one of the things that I'm designing towards, is like getting like, okay, I looked at what I need to look at from last week. Cool, the book's closed on that and on to the next week. All right, so that's the first thing, is I want the decks clear, kind of like I'm going on vacation. It doesn't always happen, but it's the intent. All right, the next thing is I think a weekly review, and in fact, any long-term habit or tool that you want to have, needs to survive your worst week. What do I mean by that? So I think a problem that that really hits a lot of people that are new to anything productivity related, performance related stuff is you get all excited, you get all geared up. Maybe you read some research paper, maybe you come across some method, maybe you come across some new technology. You get so excited, you design this crazy system that'll just get you flying and whatever, and maybe you absolutely crush it for a few weeks on there, maybe even a couple of months, but then eventually you stop using it and you're like, what the heck happened? Why does that happen? Well, believe it or not, 10% of your weeks will be in your bottom 10% of weeks. That's just a tautology. That's 5.2 a year, right? You're going to have bad weeks every single year. And if, I mean, it's relative, it scales to how you're doing, but you know, what were your five worst weeks in 2020? You'll probably have 5 weeks along those lines in 2021, give or take. I mean, like if your house burned down or some sort of extreme event, then hopefully that doesn't happen again. You know, do make sure that you, you know, don't leave any tea kettles on the stove again if that's how it happened. But, you know, you have weeks where you get ill, you have little stupid stuff go wrong, crazy stuff happens. Power goes out, your computer breaks, whatever, stupid stuff happens. And it's when stupid stuff is happening, illnesses, injuries, conflict, whatever, that tends to be when habits break down. So what I see people that are new and enthused often do is they design stuff to perform even better when they're at their very, very best. I don't think that's as important, to be quite frank. You know, by all means, you want to take advantage of the times that you're in a very high creative, highly energetic, highly excited state. You want to be able to take advantage of those, for sure. But I kind of think you will anyways, with minimal structure. So what I like to do, what I try to do, is I'm not designing for absolutely maximizing when I'm on. I'm trying to make this, whatever I make, survive when I'm right? Got the flu, but can I keep this whole train on the tracks? Right? So a weekly review should be able to survive. If, let's say, you were going to be going to visit your family, so you're going to be away from home office, whatever setup, and then when you get there, maybe like one of your parents is a little bit ill, so you got to take care of them and help, and then you get ill, and like it's just crazy for 2 or 3 weeks. Ideally, an ideal weekly review is if you have 3 crazy weeks in a row like that, is you could still do some version of it so that it doesn't die, so the habit doesn't die. Because if you let something go for like 3 weeks, a lot of times it'll be months before you get back to it, all right? Which gets to the next point, which is I like to have very flexible prompts as the core of my weekly review. There's all sorts of different methods for doing a weekly review, and different people have one. I think David Allen's from Getting Things Done is pretty famous. He spends a lot of time updating tasks and projects and then kind of surveying the landscape. I like to have extremely flexible qualitative prompts. So the simplest version of weekly review that I try to do every single week, and I will skip every last part of it besides this, is just 3 questions. One, what's really going on? I like usually italicize really. What's really going on? 2, so what do I do about it? 3, what matters? Semicolon, what doesn't? Right? 3 questions. Now, what matters, what doesn't, you can punctuate that how you want. I call that 3 questions, right? So I'll say it again. What's really going on? Then I answer that. I'll write that question down, then I'll answer it. 2, so what do I do about it? 3, what matters, what doesn't? So if I'm really busy, but things are going really well, what's really going on? Oh, great week, got a lot of stuff done, got this going on, right? But maybe I'm neglecting a little bit. I'm, you know, having orange juice and bagels every single morning instead of a good breakfast just because I've been busy. So what do I do about it? Hey, everything's flying, but I should get back on clockwork nutrition, or I should go do a big round of meal prep on the weekend for the week ahead so I got breakfast food just sitting in the fridge ready to have, whatever. So it corrects little things, right? And then what matters, what doesn't, I'll be like, hey, all right, I'm really flying on this, but like, don't be a perfectionist on this one thing. Just get it out the door. Speed matters, whatever. So those 3 questions, and I've done, I don't know, hundreds of weekly reviews in my life. This is a multi-year thing that I've done most weeks for multiple years now, and probably less than 10 years, but more than 5 to 10 years of weekly reviews. So what's really going on is a great prompt because if you're honest with yourself, I emphasize the really. So it's not like, well, you know, I had a meeting and blah, no, it's not that, not that. It's like, what's really going on, right? So, you know, if you were a graduate student, you might have under what's really going on is, hey, like I keep doing busy work and little stuff, and that's really good. And I'm like reading some books that are enjoyable, but I keep putting off the big scary step of my thesis. And if I'm gonna be totally frank about it, I don't even know how I should approach this. So what do I do about it? I need to sit and talk with somebody else that got their PhD or go meet my advisor or go get some helpful friendly advice. I don't even know what the next step is. What matters, what doesn't? Hey, I've done a good job on these little projects, but they're totally fine. I also don't want to put a lot of pressure on myself. Let me just make sure I go talk with two or three people to see if I can get unstuck on my thesis. Right? So you could see those three questions, and I mean, you can come up with your own variant of this. This is works well for me, but as you like, right? Those three questions could be 5 minutes if you're in a hurry and things are pretty good, or that could be an hour of prompts to sit and reflect and analyze. So I like that, right? Now, this is a kind of a smaller version of the bigger thing, which is I think you should have a weekly review that you can scale up and scale down as needed and as desirable, right? So I do my weekly reviews in Evernote, right? I have a kind of a little template, kind of. I say kind of because I'll tweak my weekly review from week to week. And there's like, I don't know, maybe eight categories of things that will sometimes be on there. So sometimes I'm tracking calories and food intake very closely, and then I'll do analysis. Hey, where my numbers hit, where do I need to make adjustments, whatever. And other times I won't be paying attention to that. There's times that I track my time down to the 5 minute block during the weekly review. I'll look at all my time numbers and update those. There's times that I'm not doing that. There are times that I am tracking my spending very, very carefully at various times. Back when people used to use cash, I know this was like a thing. There's times that I recorded all of my spending that I think I used to round to the 5 cents when I used cash just to make the numbers easier to eyeball. Maybe I even rounded it to the zero where, you know, I rounded it. If it was a seven, I rounded it up. And if it was a three, I rounded it down to zero. I think that's actually what I did used to do with spending with cash. So I'd be off by a few dollars a year, but it was really easy to eyeball all the numbers. So if I was doing financial tracking, I'd have that on there. So for me, with a weekly review, and I can pull up my most recent one here and take a look at it, right? Hey, what's really going on? So what do I do about it? What matters, what doesn't is on there. Sometimes I have logs of all the stuff I've done. A lot of times, very, very often, even if I'm not doing any formal time tracking, I will look at all of my calendared appointments for the last week and everything I achieved in the last week and all kind of active projects and what I was working on. I think it kind of just got a snapshot of the week. One thing I found very, very curious about weekly reviews, and I'm not the only one this has happened to, this is apparently a common phenomenon, is, you know, a lot of times, so I end my week on Saturday. Last day of the week for me is Saturday. First day of the week is Sunday. That means that I have a weekend day to start the week and a weekend day to end the week. You can psychologically start the week whenever you want. The vast majority of people do Monday. Among the top performers I know, I'd say like probably like something like 90% of people think the week starts on Monday. And among top performers I know, I would say like slightly more than half thinks the week starts on Sunday. So among top performers, a lot of them go week starts on Sunday. Those are the people I know. I find it works way better. So Saturday's the last day of the week. I go hang out and stuff. Sunday, start getting ready for the next week. It's kind of how it works instead of 5 weekdays and then 2 weekend days at the end of the week. So I like that much better. But it's a very common phenomenon that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe even Thursday will be really, really strong. Actually, no, like something like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The first 4 days of the week will be very strong. But then I have a bad Thursday, Friday, Saturday for whatever reason. You know, maybe I got all my work done that was planned out for the week by Wednesday. And then I was kind of like a little bit adrift and just messed around. Maybe something came up and I haven't adjusted for it, whatever. And I have like a bad Thursday, Friday, Saturday, relatively speaking. A lot of times I'll be like, oh, that week sucked. That was terrible. What just happened? Right? But then I look at my things. I'm like, wait, actually, no, I crushed it from Sunday to Wednesday. Actually, that was a totally fine week. I was even above average. On the flip side, sometimes I have a week where I kind of come out slow out of the gate, don't do great in the beginning. But then around Wednesday or Thursday, I start really picking it up. And then Friday and Saturday, I have really great days. And I go, wow, I just crushed it this week. I'm the man. This is so great. And then I actually look at what I got done that week. And I'm like, actually, it wasn't that good. So, you know, people's emotional memory is very, very biased towards what's ever happened recently. I mean, there's even cases where I've had like 1.5 bad days and then I think a week was bad, but then I look at my stuff and I'm like, no, actually that week was right dead on. All right. So I do like to always look at what I got done that week. And that's just even a glance at the calendar. If you're not doing any time tracking, a glance at, you know, kind of whatever projects or work output you put out. Nevertheless, I think you want to have some different kind of buckets, if you will, that you can include or not include in the weekly review as needed, right? So there are times that you might need a very detailed spreadsheet of stuff that you go through and you just make sure it's all on pace, and there are times when that's unnecessary. So for me, for any active major thing going on, I kind of just like create a little area in the weekly review to mess around with it and update it, right? This will vary from person to person. So if you were doing, you know, some athletics training, if you're getting ready for a competition, you might have your little athletics training area where you look at, say you're doing some running, right? You would look at your mileage for the week, assess whether you have any injuries, assess your recovery, and so on and so forth. And for me, again, this is just a text file. I just use Evernote out of habit. I started doing this in Evernote ages ago. There's much better tools now. I just stick with it because it's what I used to use back in the day, and I just keep using it. I think having these kind of flexible buckets that you can include or not include, and I feel relatively guilt-free. I feel relatively not guilty. Cutting everything if I'm in a hurry and just doing what's really going on. So what I do about it, what matters, what doesn't. But, you know, looking at last week, yeah, I have time numbers on here. I have the things that I was achieving. Oh, I've been doing some kind of like some gear upgrades and some house upgrades. That's on there. It's like, what do I want to improve the next week? I'm just like doing a few each week, you know, just like buying some little stuff, you know, buying more like power chargers, you know, plugging them into the wall, power strips and USB chargers and stuff like that. I'm just doing stuff like that. I'm upgrading my place a little bit. So that's on my weekly review right now, so I just chip away at it every single week and then, you know, go do errands and shopping or whatever just throughout the week a little bit. So having these, the ability to scale up and scale down, right? I see people build these very complex weekly reviews, which can be very powerful when you're in the zone on them, but then they don't scale them down when they get busy. So having a simple version that can be 10 minutes if you're in a hurry, just so you keep kind of a stake in the ground of the habit, but then being willing to add on to it, okay, I'm going to track my running really carefully. I'm going to look at my finances or whatever. And something that, this kind of sounds obvious, but this leads into the next point. I think your weekly review should be enjoyable to do. I get a kick out of it. And not just the outcome where the decks are clear. That's a nice feeling. Everybody likes that. Hey, cool, the decks are clear. I closed the book on last week. I know what's going on next week. But you know, there's different personality types. Some personality types of people, I'm one of them, will spend more time naturally on stuff they don't like, that they like want to keep under control and keep improving on, than they do on stuff they like, right? So you should figure out some stuff that you like and put that on your weekly review so you can look forward to that. And, you know, even as I say this, this is not something I've done, but something that occurs to me is I could have like new music that I liked this week on a weekly review, right? That'd be cool, right? You know, you can put things on there about like, you know, trying out new and cool experiences or, you know, if you're in a part of the world that's got COVID under control, there's no lockdowns going on, you could have, hey, did I try an interesting restaurant this week? Or what would be an interesting recipe or dish to cook if you like to cook for the next week? A substantial part of your weekly review should be enjoyable, and nothing on there, in my opinion, should be too onerous. Should be too unpleasant. I'm you know, for better or worse, I love data. I'm a data geek. I like to track my time down the 5-minute block and then analyze how did I spend in the different categories of time and then make adjustments. Okay, next week I spend more time on this and less time on that. Like, whatever. Okay. Not everybody's into that. But there's some stuff that you're into, and some of the stuff you're into should be the stuff that you add first to the weekly review, so you're really looking forward to it. I think that's really important. You don't want this to class as admin. This should be reflection, introspection, analysis. It should be helpful, it should be beneficial, and ideally it should also be enjoyable. All right. And then this gets into the next two things, the practical things. Ideally, there are some prompts or areas in your weekly review to make changes or to kind of re-spec what you're doing. And what do I mean by that? So, you know, there's some video games where, you know, whatever, you get to choose your power-ups, right? So maybe you got like a spaceship or something. You could have like laser cannons that are bigger, or you could have more shields on your starship or whatever. In some of these games, once you upgrade the laser cannons, you're like, you're stuck. You're going to have the big laser cannon without much shield ship. But in other of these games, at various times, if you got enough money or points or whatever, you could strip the ship down and like respec the ship. Okay, let's put it all in engines. Let's make a really fast scout ship or whatever. Let's make the ship able to go do better mining in the asteroid belt. Let's make it able to, engage other starships and be in a fightery mode. So you could respec, you know, change the specifications. So one of the things that I really focus on during weekly reviews, and some of this goes to the monthly level, but a lot of it weekly too, is where do I want to respec things? And in particular, I'm always looking for stuff to get rid of, right? So, you know, if you've been tracking or doing something for a while, you want to look at, hey, do I still need this? And you also want things to bubble up that are important that you might be ignoring or neglecting. So one category that I have on my weekly review, this one's just like absolutely a lifesaver. This one is probably the second most important part of it, is I have a bunch of little headings of what I call impact areas. I don't think I made that up. I think somebody else did. I don't know. I hear it floating around. But when I ask people, hey, have you ever heard of that? A lot of people say they heard of it from me. So I guess it's not that common. But an impact area is just what it sounds like. It's an area that impacts your life. There are some that are fairly universal. Health is a near universal one for people, right? You know, personal finance is a near universal one for people. The vast majority of people have a profession or something profession-like with studies or whatever. But the really important thing on impact areas is that it also conforms to exactly what you have in your life, right? So if you're an amateur musician, you might have music on your impact areas. If you're an amateur musician, you might have practicing the fundamentals on music, writing songs, and performing live, right? Or recording music. So you might even have three impact areas for one thing. So my impact area, what they look like, is I will have usually like 8 to 12 little headings of health, personal finance, ops. Like right now, hiring is on my impact areas. We're hiring at Ultraworking. I actually have fun on the list. Like, what am I doing that's fun and how to improve fun? But these are like literally just, you know, one or two words, health. And then there's just blank bullets underneath them. So it'll be like a word. Blank bullets. And I'll just type what's going on. It's very informal. It's very fast, right? So under health from last week, I wrote improving. I guess it was just going well. And I'm getting going more. I'm upping the amount of yoga that I do. And I wrote to build up the amount of food, water, and supplies. And this is actually a nice point. This is a nice segue. I realized I wasn't drinking as much water as I should for kind of a dumb reason. It's going to sound dumb, but it was happening, which is the tap water where I live is drinkable, but it's very slow coming out of the faucet. So I'm not going to get in a long story about whatever, but very slow drinking water. And I just like found myself like doing some good work and not wanting to get up, walk to the kitchen, and then like wait for a little longer than I wanted to wait for a water bottle to fill up. So I was just drinking less water, and I noticed that. So last week, under the impact area health. I wrote that down, and I went, I bought a big gigantic jug, and now I only need to go fill that up once a day, and I just drink the big jug of water, and then I'm good. No more trips to get water. First and second, I actually drink more water now. So an impact area is a place that you can write down things like that. If I had a little tiny injury, that'd be on there, and I'd be writing down how it was going. Again, just bullet points, just like click, 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 right? So it's super, super, super fast. It's not detailed. It doesn't have to be, it can be, but I don't make this into a big thing. But what this means is it means I will look at every single category that is currently impacting me at least once a week, which is great. You know, your health doesn't get out of whack, or your personal finances don't get out of whack by one bad week, generally speaking, right? I mean, things can go wrong, you have catastrophes, but generally speaking, right? Your finances or your health or you know, your relationships or, you know, your family life or professional things or learning or education or whatever specific, you know, hobbies or parts of your vocation or studies or whatever, these things don't get neglected. You know, and typically don't get into trouble because you have a bad week. They typically get into trouble because you go weeks and weeks and weeks in a row without looking at them, right? So I'm very comfortable putting on my list, you know, I'm eating junk food lately, but this is not the week to fix it because it's still very stressful. That's shown up many times. But after you write that four or five times in a row, you're like, okay, I got to get this under control, right? And then you get it under control. Same with personal finance. I don't know how my spending is going. I haven't reconciled it in a while, but okay, whatever. I'm busy and I think it's fun. You do that three, four, 5 weeks in a row, you're like, okay, this is stupid. I got to go look at that now. So I like these impact areas, right? So if I'm forced to choose between any two of the little kind of quote unquote modules on a weekly review, and let's not make this more fancy than it is. These are little text prompts for myself to type some stuff, right? The first one is what's really going on, so what do I do about it? What matters, what doesn't? Those three questions, right? But the next one would be the impact areas, because that just gets me to look at everything in my life. Maybe a little brainstorm on these. Don't write too many. I found when I'm more than a dozen, then about halfway through, I start dogging it. Like if I have like 18, it's not that I like dog it for the last six. It's like I'll dog it like after like seven, six or seven of them. So I think a dozen's about the upper end of how many you can pay attention to at a time. Health is always on my list. Everything else kind of comes and goes a little bit based on what I want to be paying attention to. Finances is usually on the list. You kind of keep an eye on it. Oftentimes, I'll have personal systems on there. That one's usually there. And then the rest kind of get rotated for me based on what I really want to be paying attention to in the current moment. But yeah, between those two, that will get me looking at everything going on and give me the option to make changes and to change the kind of specifications up a little bit. Oh, okay, hey, this is a simple one. I just need a big jug of water. But you can do other stuff like if you had something on there about finances, like, oh, hey, my lease is up. You know, my lease is up in a month. And, you know, maybe I'll go get a cheaper place because like the city's not cool right now because of COVID. I used to live all in those cool restaurants and they're closed and nobody's doing anything. Yeah, maybe I should go be a little more rural or suburban for a little while and save some cash or whatever, right? So you can, you know, have those things kind of show up when they're timely so they don't sneak up on you with the impact areas. And then the final thing that I think is a desirable characteristic for a weekly review is I think it should generate impetus. Impetus, right? So I like this word a lot. I like this word a lot, right? You know, impetus is like makes you want to go do something, right? So it's not quite motivation. It's not desire. It's like I want to go do something, right? So when you get really, really hungry, that generates a lot of impetus to go eat, right? Or if you're ever like, you know, you like remember an old friend that you haven't talked to for a while and you're like, I really got to give that person a call, right? That means you have a lot of impetus in that moment. So the ideal thing is, you know, I'm doing a weekly review on a Sunday. Ideally, after I complete it, the next round of stuff that's coming up, I'm kind of, I don't even want to say charged up or motivated to go do it. I'm not that big of a believer in motivation. It's great, go get some, but I don't think it's a thing you should necessarily rely on. But ideally, if you've set this up the right way, then at the end of a weekly review, you have some stuff that you I don't even want to say want to go do, but are like feel compelled to go do is also the wrong word. It's just like stuff you're now going to go do. And you got momentum and impetus. It's its own word, I suppose. You think you know what a word means until you have to explain it on a podcast. But impetus, it's like momentum is a close word to it, but impetus can come up without from like a standing start. It's like, I need to go do this thing, right? So the way I've set up my weekly review is that ideally there's no like, it can catch, like, oh my goodness, I've been not paying attention to this, but it shortens the amount of time when I would ever notice that, right? So, you know, the same stuff will tend to occur week to week. Sometimes things radically change, but not very often, right? And so you get to kind of see a week over week thing. So it's like, okay, hey, this week I'm going to like improve the gear. I want to get like a you know, some supplies. I want to get some, you know, big jug for the water. I want to get some a little more yoga. I want to ramp up the frequency of yoga that I'm doing, right? And then I'm like, okay, message yoga instructor, go buy this big jug of water, and so on and so forth. So at the end of it, you know, like I find my weekly reviews tend to carry me through for about 3 or 4 days of work. I find they tend to start expiring around Wednesday or Thursday because the results of stuff that would have happened on, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, typically is going out of date. There's been times that I've done a midweek review as well around Wednesday, Thursday. That's been pretty good. But again, you want to keep your habits simple enough to survive your worst week. So yeah, those are, I think, some desirable characteristics of a good weekly review. Again, I've already told you. What my simplest version is. It's really just 3 questions in a text file. What's really going on? I'll italicize the really. What's really going on? 1, 2. So what do I do about it? 3, what matters? What doesn't? Can take 10 minutes, can take an hour. You know, it can really scale up or down to the amount you want. I think with any sort of weekly review, you gotta design it so it'll survive your worst weeks, you know, so you'll keep using it. That means some of the prompts should be flexible, should be able to scale up and scale down. You should be able to slot in a little section of it. You know, if you're working on a specific athletic training program or you're really working on your finances or there's something you really want to pay a lot of attention to, I think it should be enjoyable to do. I think it should create awareness and be written in such a way and gone through in such a way that you have the option to make changes or to respec kind of some of the patterns of your life just a little bit. You just kind of give them a nudge. It doesn't have to be like, oh my gosh, dramatic. Just like a little tiny bit, like, hey, I'm not eating enough vegetables. Let me ramp up a little bit on the vegetables, that sort of thing. And then I think you want to generate some impetus. So for me, that's one of the reasons that I don't do canonical GTD is for me, it's just like, oh man, this is too much house cleaning. And I don't really get a huge kick out of it. So it's not the level that I really rigorously manage things on, the task and how he defines a project. That's not what I do. I mean, some very successful people do it. I think not that many people do vanilla GTD right out of the box. I do some stuff that's a little bit like it. But, you know, if going through something like a GTD, because it totally does work, by the way, it's really quite genius in a lot of ways. But if going through it at the end of it, you're like, oh my gosh, this list, then you did it wrong. And I think David Allen says that at various points sometimes himself. You want to have a lot of impetus at the end of it, where you're just like, cool, I'm on this and this and this, and it's generating all these nice things and this and this and this. And part of that comes with the freedom to just look at an area on your impact areas and be like, yeah, you know what? Like, the gym closed. I'm not really working out. I should probably research a bodyweight program or figure something else out, but like not this week, maybe next week, right? So things will show up on my weekly review in the impact areas. I was like, okay, like, hey, I don't really like where this is at, but it's not a priority this week. And then when I finally do say, ah, you know what, it's been like 5 weeks. You know what? Let me take a couple of days and just do like a thorough research and really redo my fitness. Then there's a lot of impetus behind it. So for me, it's not generating a list of chores to do. It's generating like options for me. And then I can opt into the ones I want to. Now, of course, we're grown-ups. There's some stuff that makes a heck of a lot of sense to do, almost to the point that it's obligatory, right? Fair enough, and it'll catch that too. But if it's all stuff like that, then I don't think it's necessarily that enjoyable, and I don't think it's necessarily going to survive when you're a mix of busy and stressed and whatever. So I think you want to make it enjoyable and generate impetus, all right? So think about it as you design your own weekly review. I do mine on Sunday, but if I like miss doing it on Sunday, I'll do it on Monday or whenever. That's totally fine. It's also not the end of the world if I miss a week, but I try not to. Because this can be as short as 10 minutes. It's those three questions. What's really going on? So what do I do about it? What matters? What doesn't? That really kind of catches most of this. That really is the 80-20 on this. And again, that can be a go to a cafe with a paper notebook and sit and think over that for an hour or two. Or that can be like a quick 5 or 10 minutes of scribbling or typing, right? So it's flexible. Ideally, it helps get to that clear the decks. Like I've closed the book on last week. That's when I look at the calendar, the projects and things like that and be like, okay, cool. All this stuff is now done. Oh, some of the stuff's not done. Okay, I'll schedule it in the future, whatever. You want to make it so it survives your worst week. If you want to if you want to have this be a bulwark of your life, it's got to be simple. And it's, but you also want to make it powerful. And there's trade-offs between simplicity and power. So that's why I like it to be flexible and to scale up and scale down. I like it to create the option, but not necessarily too much telling me that I have to do things. I like it to create, generate options for me, you know, in analysis and thinking. I want it to be enjoyable and I want it to generate impetus where it's like, I'm now just going and doing those things. And you might have to play with it to find the format that you like. I feel like I converged on this version of weekly review after 3 or 4 years of doing them. They were productive the whole time. They were useful the whole time. But I feel like I converged on my current set of them and it works pretty well for me after about 3 or 4 years of doing them. So, you know, you play around with it. It's like a skill, like anything else. You'll figure out what works for you, what gets better for you. You'll trial and error it and figure stuff out. And yeah, hopefully this was a little bit more of a practical show. I recommend you give it a try. Last thing I'll say is sometimes it's useful to be on the internet, but a lot of times I block the internet when I'm doing a weekly review. That could be, you know, on any level. You could just turn the Wi-Fi off or unplug your router. I have an app to block the internet. I have the old version of Freedom. So I can just turn the internet off for a couple hours on my computer. I find that's helpful for me. I also put the phone on airplane mode when I do the weekly review. So I like to really just do it and think, not like, oh, but let me check on that email and then whatever. Then I've been answering email instead of thinking. So it's a pure thinking thing for me. My weekly reviews average somewhere between 30 to 70 minutes. Whenever it's 70, it's because it was highly productive and I was just generating a lot of good ideas and going through them. 25 to 30 minutes-ish on the lower end is not uncommon. I can do them in 5 to 10 minutes. I like doing them, again, as that's one of the goals, so I don't mind spending a little time on it. And yeah, it's a really, really high leverage thing. In my life, I do them almost every single week. Weeks that I don't do them, I've got stats. Weeks that I don't do them are like way less productive and less enjoyable. So yeah, it's a really good calibration tool. I'm just looking at how everything's going. Every single week, generating more options, closing the book on last week, generating some impetus for the next week. I encourage you to give it a try. I like to do it right after I wake up, do morning routines and breakfast and stuff on a Sunday, block the internet before I do it. That's how I do it. You play around with what works for you, but that works really well for me. And yeah, I encourage you to give it a try. Thank you for listening to the Ultra Working Podcast. As always, this was Sebastian Marshall, your host. Until next time, good luck and Godspeed.